Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Chris Rossini, our co-host. Chris, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you again, Dr. Paul.
Very good. We want to talk about the Fed today and how well they're doing. I think not. How things are going in the stock market is all the Fed is concerned about. But we're concerned about some other things. And the one title that really got our attention this week was the explosion of debt. You know, we've talked about debt for a long time. You know, when I first went to Congress, it was less, the national debt was less than $1 trillion. I think when Reagan was sworn in, it was $980 billion. But now it's $26 trillion. And the amazing thing is not only the size of it, but the rapidity of it, its growth. It's exponential. In the last 2 months, a couple days, more than 2 months, has gone up $2 trillion. And even this last month, once again, it's up a trillion. But you know what the answer is? When we heard from Mnuchin and others who calm the markets, don't worry, everything's under control, and we're going to pump another $1 trillion in this coming month. So, and nobody seems to be concerned because they are absolutely convinced that there's no inflation. Heard it on the TV today, so it must be gospel. The major business station said, it's a tough situation, but it's good that we have a margin. We don't have any inflation out there, so it's okay, and that's what we need. We're trying to get it up to 2%. We still haven't been able to achieve it. All this stuff is so bizarre. And this deficit is so outrageous that people just don't realize how bad it is. One thing is there's been confusion on what really is going on because the downturn, the bursting of the bubble, and the downturn in the economy has been well known. It's been predicted. It's been predicted by all the Austrian economists, and it came. And now they're confirming it. This started in February. Guess what? That's before anybody even talked about coronavirus. And yet most people now are concentrating coronavirus. There's getting to be another second spring, you know, second tier on coronavirus. It's going to be up again because the markets aren't going that well. So they have to have something to blame other than the Federal Reserve. So they say, well, it's coronavirus. It's police brutality, the demonstrations there, the chaos in the streets, which is all very, very costly and very, very dangerous. But it didn't cause the downturn. And even if you could wave a wand and have people settled, which it won't happen, on coronavirus and the movement against the police, you know, defunding the police, that's not going to solve the problem. There's a lot of liquidation that has to be done. And the liquidation has to be outrageous deficit financing and all the mistakes made when they spent all that money. And so much of it went into where? The government? All the things that they have done and all the false programs that they have started. At the same time, even during the time of the inflation of the bubble, as well as, or especially when the bubble burst, the bailouts, whether it was 08 and 09 and continuously, it's even now. It's the corporations that are really getting the benefits. Oh no, we're going to pass this out, to the individuals. You know, there was a large sum of money. There was a large sum of money that was, appropriated and spent to small businesses. And our administration says, you know, when it was requested, where'd the money go? Give us an accounting of this. Nothing happened. Which also, Chris, makes the point, well, where did they get this authority? If they won't even tell the Congress where it went, how did they get to spend these trillions? Of course, that's the thing that I've been griping about for a long time, because it's the Fed. They're in charge of the money. They get to print the money, they get to allocate it, and they get to take care of their buddies. And it also explains why it's not the free market and capitalism that causes the malinvestment between rich and poor. It's the fact that there's a special group of people that get to create the money out of thin air and then allocate it, take care of the banks and the corporations, and pretend to take care of the average person. At the same time, you know, they use this money, but there's no accounting. So that, of course, is one of the reasons why I thought an enlightenment with the accounting process of what's going on would go a long way into monetary reform, which will come because things are getting worse. But no audit, and even currently, money being spent, no appropriation, no authorization, Congress is not part of it unless you're in the deep state, and then you might be in, be part of it. So policies haven't changed. The bailouts are continuing. And I guess the point, Chris, that I wanted to try to make here is how big a problem this is. And if they can't quite visualize which corporations are being hurt and who's unemployed or who's employed and which statistics to believe, if you can come around to just trying to grasp that basically debt is not economic growth. Just creating money and creating debt is not wealth. And when you see it going up at $1 trillion a month in these last 2 months, over $2 trillion, then maybe there's something wrong, and people shouldn't be saying, well, if we could just get that stock market rolling, everything will be okay. I think that's a lot of daydreaming.
You're right, Dr. Paul. And our friend Peter Schiff pointed out this week that it took the U.S. 210 years to run up the national debt just to $2 trillion. And they're now doing it in 2 months. And they're up to $26 trillion. And I'm going to ask our studio engineer to put up a chart. Because you mentioned a very big word, and that's liquidation. And we are not seeing liquidation. This is a great chart from Deutsche Bank. And it shows the percentage of U.S. companies that have debt servicing costs that are higher than their profits. And just look at how that's, we're approaching 20%, which means that, you know, we have zombie companies. And zombie companies are a result of a central planning Federal Reserve system. They're wasting resources. These are resources that are scarce that could be applied to where they're more valuable, where they're more desired. You know, in free market capitalism, you go out of business. But instead, we have this zombie system that people are taught that it's capitalism. They're being taught that it's the exact opposite of what it is. And we have a society-wide, whether it's government, corporations, individuals, that are now drowning in debt. And we desperately, desperately need free markets, actual free markets, and sound money.
Of course, the other challenge is believing the statistics, and that is difficult because we get false statistics, because we were told that the downturn basically was occurred with coronavirus, and it was in April and May. But it really started because the bubble burst earlier than that, and the statistics now prove that we were in recession very early on. But even this recent day when we had this tremendously positive economic employment report, of all the new people employed, which every single one of them was sort of a debt-subsidized employment. And yet now another fact came out that there were 4.9 people that were laid off, and they made a mistake, and now they admit the mistake. They were laid off, they weren't working, and they were laid off, they were counted as being fully employed. And that missed the employment rate by 3 percentage points. And yet the markets, boom, they went off like crazy, but then subsequently they've gone back down again. So the markets will continue to do that. They'll be very fickle. They're going to respond to what government says and how fast the money is being printed and how many lies they can tell us. But you mentioned about the debt and the liquidation. I think that's very important. If you have a bubble, form, which shouldn't have been formed, but it was formed. If you want to talk about how do you get out of that, the first thing is that you do have to liquidate debt. And the corporations have to shrink. You don't prop them up, like you said, Chris. You don't prop up a fictitious company. The corporations, they have to shrink, and that means the people who are really ripping us off, they have to lose a lot of income. But also, in the middle of all this, the cost of labor has to go down too, which is something that in the 1930s depression, they would not allow anything to go down. They couldn't stand that, and yet that is really the adjustment, and wages should go down. Now what happens, because that is so unpopular politically, you can't let wages go down, but wages have to go down. So the people who manage money and the markets know that it can go down a different way. They go down by inflation, and pump it up, get high inflation, and they're doing this. They say there's no inflation. Well, the basic food commodity prices, meat and fish and these items, they're going up at 10%, which is a huge inflation. So there's a lot of inflation around there. But they're saying that, you know, we can't allow wages go down. But if you inflate, the real wage goes down. That is liquidation of debt. The real debt of the federal government goes down as well. Yes, they're pumping it out and the deficit's going up like crazy. But if they can just get the devaluation of the dollar, then that real debt goes down. And not only are they talking about inflating and trying to get prices to go up to get deflationary factors in there and cut down the value, they're also talking about manipulating the currency markets, which is a mixed bag, because one of the blessings that we have, so-called, is the fact that we issued the reserve currency of the world, and it was a gift. We have benefited tremendously. All we do is print the money and everybody gobbles it up. But right now they're toying with the idea that maybe a weaker currency would help us, and maybe that would boost exports. And we can condemn anybody else, especially the Chinese. They're currency manipulators and this sort of thing. Though they're talking about that, but that is not going to solve the problem. That's exactly opposite of what would happen if you had a sound monetary system backed up by gold and silver. You don't do that. The market does make some adjustments, but basically there's not this devaluation, and they're talking about that in order to try to get the real cost of wages down. But the only thing is that politically we're in such bad shambles that it's so bad that the spending is never going to be cut. Maybe you can fudge it and to make the real debt go down and devalue the currency, but that's only a temporary thing. They have to do much more than that, and that is why at this rate we're spending money, at the rate we're inflating, at the rate we're lying about the real economy and what we have to do, and yet we still are not really cutting back on the spending. Mnuchin, another $1 trillion for this month. There's no intent, no idea, because basically they think on the short run it's good and it looks like the market sort of likes it. But the whole thing is we have almost everybody in Washington and everybody on everybody on the Federal Reserve Board believes that deficits really don't matter that much. And they all study for the same economic textbook. And they all were told that really deficits don't matter, just manage them a little bit. But deficits are good, and that's how you stimulate the economy. It has nothing to do with working and savings and production of capital. They're not interested in that. And that is what the markets are all about. It's what is capital? It comes from hard work. It comes from spending the money you need to live on. What is left over becomes capital. You either loan it to somebody else to advance the economy, or you just go ahead and invest it or save it. But that is not what we do. We just spend. Debt is good. Manipulating the stocks is good. Stock prices go up, and everybody will be happy. Chris, I don't think it's working.
No, this last 100 years is proof that Federal Reserve and the topic I'm going to talk about next, government regulations, is a total failure. You know, with free markets, we want government out of our economic lives. And that is very hard for people to accept, especially when you've grown up being taught the exact opposite, that you need government regulations to get these corporations that would take advantage of us. Now, corporations should not use force, should not defraud, should not break contracts. But outside of that, once government gets involved, the gigantic corporations love it. They love that you love government regulations, and that's hard for people to accept. They do not want a free market. And we have, you know, proof. Back in 2008 and 2012, they had their chance. Ron Paul could have been president, the free market president. You know how many giant corporations wanted Ron Paul to be president? About zero. That's how much they do not want free markets, because the free market is a tough and real regulator. It's the toughest regulator imaginable. You cannot lobby anybody. You can't bribe the free market. The free market will not subsidize you or bail you out. It will not protect you from competition. Corporations love politicians because that's what politicians do with regulations and laws. They create this atmosphere of these gigantic corporations that are bigger than countries themselves. And if you want to live in a real free market, thriving society, you have to accept that government has to get out and not regulate and let the real regulator, the market, take over.
You know, another statistic that came out just recently that makes my point about the lack of recovery that's going on. In May, there were a 48% increase in the bankruptcies. So, and they really need more of that, even though they're the zombie corporations that they keep piling on more and more debt. But it's like Chris says, there's not much market activity there. But you know, they're aware, the people in charge, whether it's Treasury, the government, the insiders, the Federal Reserve, that the real leverage the Marxists have is the unfairness in the distribution of wealth. And there is unfairness. You know, the rich do get richer and the poor get poorer. The way the monetary system is designed, it's designed for that. It's designed to keep the stock market up. The whole purpose of the stock market was supposed to be, you know, low inflation rate and high employment. And that hasn't worked out so well. But they now are still aware of this problem, the political problem, because you know the distribution of wealth is unfair, and it's not because people won't work, and it's not because we need better managers. It's the fact that we don't have a market economy. But I think it's interesting that Mnuchin pointed out that 60% of the American people own stocks. So he says, well, everybody's going to benefit. We're going to pump the stock market up, and the people are going to benefit tremendously. Well, that's not quite the way it works. I guess if they're 60%, how much of it do they own? Do they own a whole lot? Will it change their standard of living? And, you know, this sort of thing, it might be a few bucks because they have a mutual fund someplace or some small retirement fund. There may be a little bit of boost, but it really doesn't make the difference. The number that people should be paying attention to, if you take all the stocks that exist, and when they go up, it's significant because 1% of the economy owns those stocks. So that's the real benefit. Not the 60% of the Americans that might own a few shares of stock. Sure, there's some going to be benefit, but the average person is not going to benefit by it. The average person is going to be uncomfortable with this because they're not sharing in it, and they haven't accepted the idea of work and effort. Now, the one thing that did come out of all this lockdown, because there were a lot of people who honestly decided this is a dumb idea, and they had been accustomed, and they were middle-class working people, accustomed to minding their own business and paying their bills and taking care of themselves, and they weren't always begging the government for help. What they were saying, just let me go back to work, and they begged and pleaded. Others, though, we heard the story, well, I'm doing better on welfare benefits, on unemployment benefits, and they were getting more money than their jobs were. So that incentive was destroyed because of the way this was handled. But I think there's still a lot of people who would go back to work, but there's so much interference with it. Right now, the jobs out there, you have to join a zombie corporation and say, I want to share in your dividends, and that is not an answer. And that's where some of the money is going, is there's a lot of dividends that have gone up, you know, with this recent bailout as well as in 08 and 09. The dividends went up, but the average person, working person, did not benefit from it. So the system that we have of interventionism and inflationism and Federal Reserve manipulation doesn't work. The bailouts actually even get worse because they inhibit the correction, and they inhibit, even for other reasons, for people I just want a job, I want to go back to work. They inhibit that, and so the things just deteriorate. And we have, over the many years, over the last 100 years, we have been a very, very wealthy country because of, not because we were really brilliant in management. It was in spite of our mismanagement, by mainly because of various things, you know, the geographic position we've been in during world wars, and the fact that we had a reserve currency, the fact that we originally had a gold standard and still retain a lot of gold. All these things made us very wealthy, but that is not the case. What is happening now is historic and very dangerous, and people should wake up to what's happening now. And there's no easy solution then other than trying to figure out something that people can do to spread a message to show that just more government spending doesn't work. There's hardly anybody in Washington that can resist it. You know, there's just a few of them, there's a handful that will actually resist. You know, this $1 trillion, this is the one that they think they might get a vote on. And they said, well, we hadn't voted on the rest, but they don't vote on it. And everything the Fed does, nobody votes on it. If they did, they were voting on something unconstitutional anyway. But now they've decided, well, we'll probably run this by the Congress and see what they think and give it legitimacy. But no, most of government is on autopilot. You notice they haven't been in Washington very much, but nothing has slowed up. You know, they always take a break from their fighting and fuming and problems that they have. They always have time to go back and vote for an appropriation bills and keep things going.
That's right, Dr. Paul. I'll finish up by pointing out, you know, the Soviet system of central planning, it was a failure way before the Berlin Wall fell down, many decades before it was over. Even, you know, Ludwig von Mises pointed out in the 20s that this is a failed system. But, you know, it was able to go on fumes for decades. And, you know, when people in the future look back, they will say the same about the Fed. It's over before they finally shut their doors, whenever that date comes. But, you know, as Dr. Paul pointed out, nobody wants to do the right thing. They just want to keep it going. They don't want to correct things. So it will keep going until, like the Soviets, there are no moves left. Checkmate. It's over. And the shame about that is, by the time that happens, the people are in bad shape, just like they were in the Soviet Union, very bad shape. So it was a bad idea to create the Fed in 1913. It was created by people that are no longer here, and we weren't alive to try to stop them. But we are here now, and it's a good idea for us to keep hammering away that the Fed needs to close its doors, turn it into a museum on why central planning doesn't work, and, you know, and rebuild again on principles that are eternal, you know, liberty, free markets, sound money, and then you can have a thriving society.
Very good, Chris. I think that one thing that we should work real hard at doing is using language, which is always being destroyed, and that's one of the things that socialists and the Marxists always do is they destroy language. But what is going on now is a lot of corruption. It's evil morally. It's evil politically. It's unconstitutional. But the added factor is the delusion. You know, the propaganda that scares people. So whether it's a war in Afghanistan or Iraq, or whether it's a war in Vietnam, or whether it's a war against the virus, which is a concocted war in many ways because the government shouldn't be running the medical system. So it has to be built on fear and intimidation in order to get the people to give public support. And that is what has been happening. And I think the coronavirus has certainly served the purpose of delusional thinking and hysteria that exists and all the things that are going on. And it fits into the pattern of trying to hide what's really going on with the Federal Reserve. So the delusion is there, but pointing out the delusional aspect is a tough job because most people, you know, if they haven't figured it out by now, they're going to have to struggle. But more and more people every day now are starting to say, what are we doing this for? Why can't I go to work? Why was I not allowed to go to church? And how did they do this? Did they do it through a constitutional ruling? Did they do this by law that they passed? Oh, no, it was a suggestion. It turned into mania. Everybody is fantastic. They pick on their neighbors who don't follow the rules and stand at so many feet apart. And if they had gone to the beach and actually walked in the park, it's a delusion that they have. So delusional thinking comes along with this. So a challenge, challenging the delusions that exist probably is one of the most important things, because that challenges the propaganda. And then, of course, we also have to offer and present the ideas, which we try to do our best on presenting the ideas of free markets and sound money, and why, if you're interested in prosperity and liberty, that's what you have to do. So we're always very pleased to visit with our viewers, because we know that so many of you agree with us on that, and that it's more necessary than ever. And I hope that the fact that things are going to get worse, that we will get more people awakened to the fact that liberty is a lot better than tyranny. And right now, it looks like we're moving in the direction of tyranny, but I think there's enough people out there to reverse that trend. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.